You're listening to a classic business podcast as heard on Classic 1027. 1027.
Jabu Mabuza's untimely death due to COVID-19 has taken one of the country's finest business leaders too soon. Mabuza is a former board chair of Telkom and Eskom and CEO of Toho Sun. As was the case when he left Toho Sun, Mabuza's hurried departure from Eskom opened other opportunities because he was quickly snapped up by media and entertainment giant MultiChoice, which appointed him lead independent non-executive director. And it was a position that he held until his untimely demise recently. Now, I first met Mabuza while researching the book Courageous Conversations with David Gleason. He was charming, comfortable enough holding forth on almost any topic. But what really stuck with me was the story that he recounted of how he placed his own academic aspirations on hold to ensure that he could fund his sister's way through university through his taxi business. And it really was emblematic of the sort of servant leader he was to become. As an entrepreneur and mentor to many, Mabuza built an outstanding career in business, which has spanned his entrepreneurship as a taxi driver and owner, and his rise to chairing some of South Africa's largest industrial groups and multinational enterprises. And he will be remembered for his pathfinder contribution to township and rural economic participation during the apartheid era through his roles in the Southern Africa Black Taxi Association and the Foundation for African Business and Consumer Services, FABCOS. He also championed black economic participation and inclusive growth through his leadership of Business Leadership South Africa and Business Unity South Africa. But he didn't have it easy throughout his career, Eskom being a difficult time. To recall the extraordinary contribution that Mabuza made to South African business, I'm joined now by Sipho Maseko, CEO of Telkom, Benang Mahale, who is the Chancellor of the University of the Free State, Busi Mavuso is a non-executive director of Eskom and head of Business Leadership South Africa, and Colin Coleman, a senior fellow and lecturer at Yale University's Jackson Institute for Global Affairs, who is also CEO of Goldman Sachs in sub-Saharan Africa. Thank you very much for joining us all at this tragic time. Sipho, Telkom became deeply symbolic of what could be achieved if the government adopted a true public-private partnership approach to managing state-owned enterprises, and with the successful partial privatization, it really is a flag bearer. Just how important was Jabu's role as chair to help provide you as CEO with some form of political cover from the interference of the largest shareholder?
Yeah, no, thanks a lot for inviting me, Michael, alongside your other guests. And I think Jabu's role at Telkom was much more than just his ability to help us manage government. He was an incredibly sound businessman, really, really helped us and supported us in framing the strategic path that the company had to embark upon. If you recall, at the time that we started, our mobile business was absolutely on the wall. We were losing, I think that year, net 2 billion rand loss in EBITDA. Our staff numbers were very high. The policy platform was very, very unstable. We had competition commission fines. So when Jabu then swung into action, he really helped bring about a cohesion in terms of how we started, first and foremost, to deal with those immediate issues that we found there. And obviously helped us as well in managing the interface between ourselves and our largest shareholder from a policy perspective. He incredibly courageous, very, very brave, quick on the uptake. And just working with him was a true gift. And him and I in particular spent a lot of time together across the totality of the business strategy, which involved, as it were, just how do we work with one of our largest shareholders. And incidentally, actually, the largest shareholders is not the person who gave him a lot of grief in the beginning. It is the smaller shareholders who gave him a lot of grief. But even with that, I think he was quite, very resolute, very focused, and very supportive.
Were there areas, Jabu, on the strategic direction of the business where the two of you ever clashed and had to hammer out some kind of consensus over the table, maybe over the on the golf course?
Well, luckily, I don't play golf. He played, but I caddied for him quite a bit. And I used to game him a little bit from time to time, because I would then want to set up an alignment meeting 30 minutes before tee off time, right? So I then knew that meeting would be very quick, because he's got to go hit some balls. Well, I mean, did we clash? No, we never clashed. Did we disagree? We did. He has a natural inquisitive mind. He does tests without doubting, as it were. But once we got the alignment, and that's the word that we used all the time, can we stand behind these jobs? We don't have to agree on something, but once we say we are aligned, we are going to move on this, he then stood behind it. I mean, you know what? Now there's about 10,500 of us. If you add BCX when we started, there was about 30,000 of us, all right? So, and I remember when we embarked on the journey, I sort of said, Jobs, this is going to be tough, right? You got to be willing to stand behind this thing, right? Mm-hmm. And he did, right? And despite all of the pressures that came his way, whether it's from organized labor, whether it's from government itself and other stakeholders, he never threw management under the bus. And even when they wanted to say, well, they now want to talk to the chairman, they don't want to talk to the CEO, Jabu would be very, very unequivocal. I don't run the company, SIPO does. And the strategy is clear, we've agreed, and SIPO will go. And in many of these forums that he attends, whether it's NEDLAC or all of those sorts of things, those stakeholders would be piling the pressure onto him. And he could align behind a position irrespective of how tough it was going to be to see it through. And that was the measure of the guy, at least insofar as working with him at Telco.
Thanks, Sipho. And I think I inadvertently called you Jabu earlier. Clearly you have Mr. Mabuza on the brain. Apologies for that. Benang, he was effectively your boss at Organized Business. You persuaded him to come back and really bring a coherent voice across BUSA and business leadership South Africa. What were the qualities that made Jabu Mabuza so effective in discharging that role?
So, Michael, I think firstly, sincere condolences to his lovely wife, Sipiwe, their three children, Loazi, Sakiwo, and Mbali, and his father, Lazarus. Jabu was a very focused, good quality human being. He was an ethical leader, absolutely transparent, and he loved this notion of final accountability. Yes, he hired me at BLSA. In fact, it's amazing how life works. We persuade him to be the president of Business Unity South Africa, to be the head of the CEO initiative, and then we ask him to be the chairman of BLSA. When I was deputy chairman at that time, we worked together for a year. We agreed that we are going to look for a CEO. They struggled to find the CEO for almost 6 months. Then they asked me to consider to become a CEO after taking an early retirement from Shell at age 55. And since then, I absolutely loved working with him. Here's a guy who was on about 15 boards in total. You were right, he started many things, including Fabcos. He went on to chair most of those boards. As if that's not enough, the University of the Witwatersrand, under the able leadership of that at that time as the Vice Chancellor, Adam Habib, and the Chair of Council, decided to confer and award him a degree as a Doctor of Commerce, honoris causa, for recognition of work done. You can see that this is an incredible human being. We went on 9 consecutive occasions to go together to the World Economic Forum, where the three of us, together with another doctor, Sipho, Mali Pichana, we served on the World Economic Forum chairman's council, and would travel together, would talk about anything and everything in the world. But for me, I think we'll remember him more than anything else, how he tried his utmost best in knocking this fourth largest utility in the world, Telkom, into shape. When he agreed that we should put his name forward to National Treasury as one of five that BLSA put forward, and the four of them ended up making it, and he ended up on the chair of that board. And again, he really did his absolute damnedest. At that time, the CEO was Ubab Phakamani Hadebe. They put an incredible strategy together. What they needed, I think, was just the support of the shareholder. Thanks, Michael.
And there are a lot of lessons that we'll come to as we see many other SOEs hopefully undergoing a similar transformation. SAA is the one that readily springs to mind. Busi, his time at Eskom was a difficult time, and I think many leaders were parachuted in to try and sort out what is almost an intractable problem at Eskom. He mentioned the rubber as the main culprit causing dreaded load shedding at the time. What do you recall of Jabu Mabuza's leadership during his tenure at Eskom?
So, Michael, thank you very much, and thank you for the invitation. So, I think I echo the sentiments of my colleagues, Bonang and Sipho. Jabu was very decisive, and I think he really understood that in taking up the Eskom challenge, he was really taking up a mammoth task. He was really taking up something that was almost mission impossible. So Jabu did what many of us in this country would not have dared to do, and what many of us loathed, because he realized that Eskom needed a leader of his caliber. You know, he took up an institution that was ravaged by the state capture project, actually most ravaged by the state capture project, and he was really doing this in responding to the Tuma Mina call. He realized that in doing this, he was serving. So this is someone who understood that if service is beneath you, then leadership is beyond you. So he actually had a very brilliant stint, you know, as well at Eskom. You would remember that the unbundling process that the president announced was really under his leadership at Eskom. So Jabu shaped what that unbundling process would look like, you know, and fast forward to where we are now, you know, Eskom has subsequently gone ahead with the divisionalization of the three units, and we have appointed CEOs of these three units as well as their boards. He also took on an acting CEO position when Phakamani left, when the narrative in the country, Michael, was that SOEs are decimating the careers of black professionals. And again, he didn't need to do this, you know, but he deemed it fit, and he knew that it was necessary to have someone be at the leadership position and steer the ship. And if you look at the circumstances around his resignation, you would see, Michael, that he and he alone took responsibility, you know, for Eskom's failure, you know, to meet the commitment that we made to the president. He didn't bring the board into it. He didn't bring the executives into it. In his resignation, he personally apologized for Eskom's inability to meet the commitment made to the president, and he therefore fell on his sword. Mm. So I think this is very telling of the type of leader that we're talking about here today. You know, someone who was very selfless, someone who was very courageous, someone who actually had a vision, you know, of this, of what an Eskom of the future ought to look like. We are sitting here today, you know, having achieved the critical issue that we've been jumping up and down about, you know, as a country, of lifting the license generation or lifting the license exemption for self-generation to 100 megawatts. Those were discussions that we started a long time, you know, as a country, and that we supported as the Eskom board. So all of these have now been put in place, and these were the building blocks that Jabu had actually put in place. Eskom has a month ago repaid 83 billion rands of its debt. This is all the fruits, you know, and the hard work that Jabu put in place when he was at the helm at Eskom. So I think his passing, Michael, is really a great loss not just to the broader leadership and business fraternity, but to the country at large.
Absolutely, demonstrating that final accountability in the way he took it upon himself to fall on his sword at ESCOM. We need to see a lot more of that inside business and government. Colin, he was ever the activist as well. He was known for being part of the 1976 student protests. I'd just like to know when your paths first crossed, because you were also an activist in your youth.
Yeah, thanks very much, Michael. So it's really a deep shock that I still experience at the loss of somebody I've known for 30 years, who's like a brother to me. We first met actually in the pre-constitutional negotiation process when I was one of the leaders of the consultative business movement, which was a forum of business CEOs who were trying to negotiate the transition. And Jabu was head of Fabcos, and at that stage, this was in 1990, he was very instrumental in starting the process of thinking about, in addition to political and economic emancipation of South Africa, what the role of business in transition would look like, particularly inside businesses. So we were part of a series of discussions with business leaders in the 1990s, early 1990s, about that. And he was very involved in the transition process. So from there, right through my career in banking, we were on the board of Business Leaders for South Africa together, on the CEO initiative together. We sat opposite President Zuma when Jabu effectively stood up to the president and told him very directly that he wouldn't, on behalf of business leaders, he wouldn't stand for President Zuma and his family, you know, combining with the Gupta family in the state capture project. You know, we were very, very involved in, you know, the whole Save South Africa, the anti-corruption process that followed, and in helping effectively President Ramaphosa re-engineer the state so that there was, you know, at the beginnings of rolling back corruption in South Africa. So we went through many things together, but he was, you know, very much a friend. He was a patriot, and as all my colleagues on this panel have said, a very brilliant businessman.
And, you know, such large shoes that he fills, maybe one could say large hats that he fills, because he was a man who wore many hats, and he had that trademark hat that he used to wear. But Sipho, as we've got about 6 minutes to go, and I want to go around the table on this, what are the important lessons here that Jabu leaves behind as we look to recalibrate and reconfigure our state-owned enterprises in particular and ensure that the most recent announcement, the SAA one, doesn't become stillborn and is actually emulates the success that you achieved at Telkom?
Yeah, and Jabu's life was bigger than actually state-owned enterprises, right? And that's where I'm always a bit nervous to pigeonhole him essentially in the last sort of 8 years of his life. I think Colin referred to Fabcos, that those were very difficult times for black business, and Jabu stood up to be counted, and he did the right things. Jabu stood quite a lot for those that are starting out businesses and small businesses, from what he did as a taxi man. Fabcos was quite progressive and forward-looking and non-political partisan. And I think, you know, in a perverse way, actually, there's a sadness in me in how he then gets dealt with in the latter part, especially around SOEs, all right? How he gets thrown under the bus with regards to Eskom and the load shedding, and how he's then made to be the poster boy of a telecom that's not working. And that really, if truth be told, really leaves me with a very, very heavy heart. It's one of the things I disagreed with Jabu on when he was asked to go into get onto the Telkom board. And I sort of said, actually, be careful of this. Politicians are generally expedient people, and they will leave you under the bus, and they did. And even when he left, Eskom, none of them took ownership and accountability up until today. And for me, it's kind of bittersweet in the sense that the circumstances of his departure were very, very unfair. And I refuse to look at Jabu and Jabu, how Jabu has impacted me and this country only through the prism of SOEs. He was larger than that by far.
Absolutely.
So, and that's how we would want to remember him and honor him, I think, both personally, a couple of friends. I was just with his son about 30 minutes ago, and also as Telkom, beyond just what he was in the last 8 years. I don't think it will fully capture who
Absolutely.
He was.
And I know Fabcos, or certainly the Fabcos that he left behind, was a true champion of black SMEs. We did a deal at my time with David Gleason's publishing house, launching a national newspaper that got over to 100,000 copies called The Second Business. And it was during the tenure of Thabo Mbeki and The Second Economy, very well received and distributed through a very unique network to all taverners and through the cracks into the townships. And he really is so much more than SOEs. I just think it is a critical challenge that still faces the country in terms of getting things right and getting the reform narrative right. Just as we go around, Benang, where is the next job with Mabuza coming from?
What I loved about Fabcos is that him and Ashley Mabogwane ended up going to buy a stake at Premier Milling at that time. He approached SAB, where he was carrying the bag for the chairman at that time, and later on he says, all the casinos happen to be in the former homelands. If you back me, we can get the licenses, casino licenses in South Africa. That's how he started Tsukhosan. That he then headed up initially just the gaming division. Later on, he took also the hotel division, ultimately becoming the group CEO. So I'll remember him for two things. So firstly, how he taught us that the best amongst us are those that make time to help others, even though they are struggling with their own problems. When he was expelled during the 1976 riots, all of us learned that we are dreaming of a new South Africa that is empowered, that is self-reliant, that is selfless, that is skilled, that is free from corruption. Lastly, for me, Jabu will never become just a statistic of the more than 180 million total cases, more than 4 million deaths globally. Even in South Africa, we've exceeded 1.9 million total cases, more than 58,000 people that have died on this, the 495 day of national lockdown. I think he brings to life that the reason why all of us need to take care is that we isolate now, so that when we get together again, no one is missing.
A powerful message that, and Colin, just as we end off, and to my point on where the next Jabu Mabuza is coming from, and to Benang's point, what Jabu taught us is to lift others up and to serve. What is being done now by organized business to ensure that the next generation of leaders, the next generation of Jabu Mabuzas emerges and takes over and picks up the torch?
Yeah, look, I think we need to have a situation where this country becomes much more dynamic, much more entrepreneurial. There is a much more of a dynamic interface between corporates, the truly top corporates, the smaller micro enterprise industry, because that needs to become much more dynamic too. And government needs to become much more entrepreneurial. And in that sense, what we've lost with losing Jabu is an entrepreneur who moves between all those spaces, between the Fabcosses, the corporate sector, the presidency, and the state-owned enterprises. So what we need is more young leaders to emerge. And there are those people that we see, the young black business people who are very dynamic, who are coming and building their own organizations. A Kudu Pitcher, for example, with his Dark Fiber Africa. You know, those type of people are emerging, and we must encourage them and give them the space and the support to do that. But I think South Africa, is has lots and lots of potential. We have lots of heavyweight problems, and those heavyweight problems are on the shoulders of South Africa. Unemployment is the biggest one. A lack of education and skills, and a government that tends to be ineffective. So we need to put the reins on this and effectively liberate the economy and the people of South Africa to flourish, because we have tremendous talent, and Jabu was amongst the best of them.
Absolutely, and his story certainly encapsulates that, coming from very humble beginnings and to eventually hold the upper echelons of business and to move, as you say, between the presidency, between Fabcos, between big business and small business. His loss will be felt for years to come. That was Colin Coleman, joined around the table by Benang Mahale, the Chancellor of the University of the Free State, Busi Mavuso, Non-Executive Director of Eskom, and Sipho Maseko, CEO of Telkom, talking about the life of the late Jabu Mabuza and the huge hat that he will leave behind. Jabu, may your fairways and greens always leave you with an easy lie in the beyond. You will be sorely missed.